I went to my own college reunion some years ago. It wasn't the 40th, but I was so struck by how similar people were, even though we'd all had these long life experiences between the time we were in college and the time we went to the reunion.
That's Liza Tolley, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. The 40-Year Grudge is the second book in the Meriton Blunt mystery series. It's the sequel to The World's Greatest Detective and Her Just-Okay Assistant. Liza Tolley is the pen name of Elizabeth Brink, who also writes suspense as Elizabeth Elo and literary fiction as Elizabeth Pantea Brink. Liza, welcome to Conversations.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
This is the second book in your Meriton Blunt mystery series. Where are you taking readers this time?
Well, this time, the detective team, Aubrey Merritt, who's the older detective, and Olivia Blunt, who's the younger rookie intern detective, they're going to the Southwest to a ranch that is owned by Aubrey's old college friend, Joan Battersea, who was a retired brigadier general, and they're having a 40-year reunion for their sorority. So there's about seven or eight women and a couple of, plus ones, a couple of husbands are there, one son is there, and they proceed to have a weekend of reunion. And during this weekend, some kind of bad things happen, and one person ends up murdered. And then Olivia and Aubrey have to solve the case because the local detectives are homing in on a guy that they think is innocent. So they have to exonerate him and find the killer, and they do all of this, within 2 days.
So this is the second book in a series, but does this book stand alone?
Oh, yeah, sure. You can certainly read the mystery is a self-contained mystery, and the characters, a lot of the characters are new, so you wouldn't have known them from the past anyway.
So it's not necessary to read the first novel, but it doesn't hurt, especially if you want to see the evolution of the two main characters. So how does that relationship between the world-famous experienced detective and her novice assistant evolve in this second novel?
Yeah, well, that actually is the most challenging part of this, because when they first get together, Aubrey Merritt is a 60-something woman who has lived, she works really hard, and she spent most of her career working alone. But she's at the age now where she realizes that she wants to pass on all the expertise she has gained in her long career to a worthy, acolyte. And Olivia Blunt is the person that she chooses. But Olivia's young, and she's inexperienced, and she's restless and energetic and not always thinking rationally. So they have a lot of conflict and tension in their relationship. And at first, their first mystery together, Olivia's kind of all over the place. This time, Olivia does some detective work of her own, and she actually does some pretty good stuff. She makes some mistakes, but she does help to solve the murder. And in the very last scene, it's very dramatic because we're used to having the detective reveal who the murderer is and showing the evidence that, proves that they're guilty. In this case, Aubrey reveals who the murderer is, but she doesn't have that final piece of evidence that will convince the local police that this guy needs to be arrested immediately. And it becomes very tense at the end. How are they going to prove it? And that's when Olivia really steps up and does some pretty original thinking and saves the day.
Well, you'll have to read the book to find out about all that's going on there at the end. But let's talk about this setting again. It's a 40th college reunion. What made you think that that was fertile ground for a mystery?
Oh, it's perfect ground for mystery. I went to my own college reunion some years ago. It wasn't the 40th, but I was so struck by how similar people were, even though we'd all had these long life experiences between the time we were in college and the time we went to the reunion. But we really just picked up right where we left off. And some of the same feelings were there in terms of who liked who and who was mad at who. And we were too mature to have that really come out at the open, but it was there and you can feel it, and conversations afterwards. weren't that different from what they were, you know, 20 years ago or more. So I thought this is really an interesting social experience right here.
Well, one of the things we discover in the book is these people all have different memories of what really happened in the past. So was that your way of kind of looking at how memory is really an unreliable narrator?
Yes, and I think there was a big conflict that happened in their senior year between two people, and this is the grudge that the title refers to. But other people who were around it, surrounding this conflict, each saw it a little bit differently from their own vantage point, and also from the sympathy that they had for the two, you know, opposing parties. So if you liked so-and-so to begin with, you're more likely to take her point of view and ditto on the other side. So, and then what really happened is actually never really revealed, but the fallout from the conflict is quite detrimental.
As you pointed out with your own experience, you could tell that the people you're meeting with were still a lot like they were 20 years ago. In this case, it's 40 years ago. And you think maybe they grow past these grudges, that, you know, they get on with their lives. But really, their lives are still impacted by this event. We're not sure what it is, as you said, but something happened that had a big impact on their lives 40 years later, even.
Right, right. And I think that, to me, that's one of the insights, I guess, that you get as you grow older, and that is that you do carry around. I mean, people can really affect the course of each other's lives through what they do, through what they don't do, through all kinds of like tricky ways. And in this case, the course of two people's lives was greatly affected by something that happened between them. And one person became quite successful, the other less so, and it wasn't clear who deserved the success. So that to me is very fascinating. And I think it's a true thing just about human nature that you can hurt someone without even knowing them. And we can hurt each other quite dramatically, and even in some kinds of small things. And what also struck me is that, especially at that age, the access to opportunity is really important to translate that college age person into a professional person with a professional career. You know, access and opportunity makes such a difference in who can really fulfill their potential.
Well, as you mentioned, what happens in our past influences our future and how we view the world. What are some of the other themes you explore here? I know there's aging, there's what is really success, et cetera, et cetera. Tell us more about those kind of themes the readers were going to find here.
Well, one of them is, my heroine, the young woman, Olivia Blunt, has just been married. And so she's very excited about that. And they had a lovely wedding and they went on a honeymoon and they came back and they're looking for a new apartment in New York City, which is very difficult to find an apartment that, you know, they can afford. So there's some pressure around that. But as she's, you know, texting with her now husband, she's also observing the marriages of these older women who are all around her. And each of them has a different experience. And she witnesses a marriage that's largely just a ripe friendship in which the two parties really give each other lots of leeway to live their own lives. But there's a friendship there that's profound in its own way. And there's another relationship that's really kind of a power dynamic. They're a power couple, and they get together and they create a business, and they, you know, they're drawn together mostly by what they can do for each other in terms of starting and running a business. And that's also a profound connection. That's real. And then there's another couple that's been married for a long time, and they just pick at each other all the time. You probably have seen these people. You know, what one person says, the other says that's not true. And then he says something and she says it wasn't like that. And so they're always kind of at odds and they're both kind of miserable. And of course, Olivia says, she calls her husband immediately and she says, you know what, if we ever get to the point where we're just, you know, harping on each other and publicly, and let's just get a divorce. Let's promise each other right now, if it ever gets that bad, we'll just get a divorce. And he's, of course, he says, well, why would you even say that? We just got married. You're ridiculous. We're never going to get a divorce. And then she says, well, you don't know, you know, these things, you know, the marriage changes over years. And sometimes it becomes deeper and richer and more wonderful. And sometimes it kind of turns sour.
There's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters from this novel, who would it be and why?
Well, I would probably spend the day with Aubrey Merritt, who is the older, experienced and very successful private investigator. And I would want to ask her, how does she view her work? You know, because she is quite interesting, but she doesn't suffer fools gladly. So after I had a nice talk with her, I would probably want to meet up with Bree Jumper, who is a novelist, a fantasy novelist, who's one of the women at the reunion. And she has a very different take on life. And she's funny and sort of cynical and sarcastic, but she's pretty much always calling the shots correctly.
One of the things that readers enjoy about this series is that relationship between the two detectives. So this is the second book. Will we see a third?
Yes. In fact, I'm working on a third book now. We just have a title. We've come to a title for it, and the title will be Hot Pastrami and Cold-Blooded Murder. And it's set in New York City. And the person, the victim, is killed while eating a hot pastrami sandwich. So this, and then it comes to be known in the public imagination as the hot pastrami murder. So, and then Aubrey and Olivia are in their home turf in New York City, and the book deals with a lot of different landmarks in New York. I kind of want to make it fun to be in New York because New York is so much fun, and it involves the theater community, and it involves a very old, established New York family.
Well, we'll look forward to that third installment. Meanwhile, this second novel is The 40-Year Grudge by Liza Tolley. Liza, thank you for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the support.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.